We're continuing with Jewish history, and we're up to the final three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Some say Malachi is Ezra, some say Malachi is Mordechai, some say Malachi was his own prophet, Malachi. Now, they were the final three prophets, and they accompanied us into Israel. They were part of the men of the Great Assembly, so they were part of the institution of organized prayer, the organized text that we use for Shmona Esrei, the blessings we make. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were there. Firstly, we needed prophets in order to establish the Beit HaMikdash. You need prophets to tell you exactly where is the place of the altar, the Mizbeach. And also, they were part of the institution of Shmona Esrei. As, if I'm not mistaken, the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim of Elazhin, writes in his work, being that prayer would have to encompass the needs of every generation, of every individual, of every circumstance. So you needed prophets to be a part of organizing the text of the prayer. How do you write a prayer that will be relevant in the 21st century, just as it was relevant in the 10th century? The world has changed on us. And yet our Shmona Esrei, when understood deeply, our Shmona Esrei references the needs of individuals throughout time. And so it was the prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, who partnered with the men of the Great Assembly. They were members of the men of the Great Assembly to compile the tefillah that we have till today. So the men of the Great Assembly passed away approximately in the year 3442. Some want to say it was 3448. Not a big difference from our perspective. The question here is, how many years was it after the building of the first Beit HaMikdash? Was it 40, 43 years? The Kuzari says it was 40 years after they had built the second Beit HaMikdash. However you'll take it, they were around for decades into the second temple era, the Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. In Tractate Yuma, so it says in Rashi that from the second year of Darius onward, you no longer had prophecy. He comments that it would seem that there's a mistake, some misquote in that Rashi, because in Zechariah it writes that it was the fourth year of Darius that Zechariah had his prophecy. I beg to differ. I'm not sure in that Rashi which Darius he's referring to, and in the Pasuk in Zechariah which Darius he's referring to. His assumption that when Rashi says that in Yuma, it has to be the same Darius as Zechariah, that's something that needs to be clarified, why he thinks so. He's much bigger than me, but I'm saying that's Rashi in Zechariah and Rashi in Tractate Yuma and in Tractate Rosh Hashanah and in Tractate Megillah and in the book of Daniel. In all these different places, Rashi discusses the numerous kings that were called Darius. So we have to check why he felt that Rashi had to be talking about the same Darius as Zechariah. Now, there's this book. I don't know what this stands for. Glilot Eretz Yisrael. This is a book that describes the geography of the land of Israel, the different landmarks. So he writes over there that not far from Jerusalem, northeast of Jerusalem, there's this big cave. And in that cave is buried the prophet Haggai. And people would sometimes come to pray there. He says that they would have processions of people coming to pray there. Sometimes you'd have over 500,000 people praying by the cave of Haggai. And he says right there is also the cave where Kalba Savua was buried. Right, Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law, Kalba Savua, the father of Rachel, Rabbi Akiva's wife. He's also buried over there, right by the Navi Haggai. Being that we've reached the end of the prophetic era, so he points out to us that throughout our history, until this time, until the beginning of the Second Temple period, you had tens of thousands of prophets. Our tradition is that in the days of Eliyahu, there were 1,200,000 prophets. many prophets in the land of Israel in the days of Eliyahu. And their prophecies were not recorded for long term, because we had a tradition that those prophecies were really short term. They were prophecies necessary for that period, and so they weren't recorded. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah tells us that there were seven women who were prophets. So we have the four matriarchs, right? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah says. And then we have Miriam, the sister of Moshe. She was a prophet. We have Devorah, as it says in the book of Shoftim. We have the wife of Elkanah, Chana, who is recorded in the book of Shoftim. Her song is recorded, so she also is recorded as one of the prophets. Abigail, David's wife, she's recorded as one of the prophets. Huldah, the wife of Shalom, we know that she has prophecy in the book of Yirmiyahu. And then Esther, the queen. So if you count, that comes out to more than seven. So here the commentaries start asking, okay, which one gets counted and which not? You have Esther, Huldah, Hannah, Abigail, Dvorah, Miriam. So you've hit six without the seven, without the four matriarchs. So so here the commentaries want to say that only Sarah is recorded as having prophecy. The issue is Rachel is also recorded, because Rachel says, "Lama eshkal shnechem biyom echad." So it says, "Nizreka baruach hakodesh." She had a prophetic utterance. Doesn't sound like it was prophecy, but rather she said something and she got it right. That it was a heavenly inspiration, but it wasn't the same as prophecy. So this is discussed among the commentaries. The commentaries over there in Masechet Megillah discuss how do you end up with seven. Meaning, if we have these, so does Abigail get mentioned? How do we know Abigail was a prophet? So Chazal tell us she was, but is it in the text? Is it obvious that she's going to be? So again, our interpretation, our traditional interpretation of certain sentences she said, is that they were prophetic. But is that the same as having prophecy? So that's discussed in the commentaries there. Yes?
That sort of leads into the question I had, because it's astounding in time of Eliyahu that they say 1.2 million prophets. I mean, is it like, you know, a Yamsuf where everybody had a moment of prophecy, and that would consider you would be counted almost as a prophet, because what was the population of adult males at that time? You know, or is it, I mean, they certainly doesn't seem to say like they had a million of prophets on the level of Eliyahu.
So that's actually not so clear, because Chazal darshanit from the pasuk that when Elisha was accompanying Eliyahu in his final journey where he would ascend to heaven, so it says the different towns he came to, it says there was Chevel Nevi'im, a group, a cluster of prophets came to approach Elisha, and they asked him, "Do you know that today Hashem is taking your master from upon you?" So Elisha says, "Gamani adati echeshu." I also know, be quiet. So Chazal say, why do they tell Elisha, your master? So Chazal say, because he wasn't their master. They were equal to Eliyahu. So Chazal say, you had so many people. Every town they're going to, you have a cluster that comes and says, do you know, today Hashem is taking your master from you. The sentence keeps repeating itself. And so Chazal say, right, you had all these people who are as great as Eliyahu.
It's like the term rabbi, different levels, but they're all pretty learned.
It's mind-boggling, because if you think about it, a few years earlier, Jezebel had killed any known prophet. So how do you reach a point over here that there were so many prophets, right? There were only 100 left. So if he wouldn't have written it, I would have thought that it's a small cluster. I would have thought that, but this is how he writes it. I don't know. It requires a lot of work. He's quoting a Midrash Chazit. So we have to look in that Midrash to see if the Medrash explains, like you're saying, how did that happen?
No, I mean, you could see anything's possible. It's just amazing. I mean, it's astounding. But, you know, I mean,
it's definitely something to look into, because, again, it would seem the way you were suggesting, that it could be at Mount Carmel there was an inspiration after what happened at Mount Carmel.
The militia response is also, you know, you got to square the two.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rashi over there quotes, who are the 48 prophets? It says over there in the Gemara, 48 prophets and 7 female prophets prophesied for the Jewish people. And then the Gemara says, no, really, there were many more. These are the ones whose prophecies were recorded. So one of the most ancient texts we have after the Gemara is a text called Baal Halachot Gedolot. And we don't know exactly who wrote it. We assume it was Rav Yehudai Gaon. But it's a discussion among the early commentaries. Was it really Rav Yehudai Gaon? Was Rav Yehudai Gaon blind and his students wrote it? Sometimes the Rishonim write, this isn't Rav Yehudai Gaon. This is someone else stuck this in. One of his students, he was blind. One of his students stuck this in. So that's a discussion. We're not exactly sure who wrote it. We know it was a very, very, very big rabbi who lived shortly after the Talmud. It is one of the first texts that were written after the Talmud. And some of what's written in Baal Halachot Gedolot actually was copied into the Talmud. You have places in the Gemara where Rashi and Tosfos tell you, this line is not from the Gemara. This line is from Baal Halachot Gedolot. They stuck it into the Gemara, but this is really Baal Halachot Gedolot. So Baal Halachot Gedolot, his commentary is treated with great reverence. It's ancient. It almost dates back to the period of the Talmud. It's so ancient. And it made it into the Talmud, parts of it. So Baal Halachot Gedolot, when he comments on the Gemara that there were 48 prophets, he enumerates it as follows. He says, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yoshua, Pinchas, Elkanah, okay, Shmuel's father, Eli, the Kohen Gadol, Shmuel, okay, we're up to 10 so far. Gad, that's obvious, that's in Tanakh, Natan, David, okay, the Gemara in Yuma says, Eile Divrei David Acharonim, that at the end of the book of Shmuel, that's David's prophecy, Shlomo, that's really a machloket rishonim, whether Shlomo was ever a prophet. The Meiri holds Shlomo only had Ruach HaKodesh, never prophecy, and that's why Shlomo's books never make it to Nevi'im, only to Ketuvim. Baal Halachot Gedolot holds he was. Ido, okay, Michayu ben Yimla, that's again in the book of Kings, Ovadia, Achiah Shiloni, Yehu ben Hanani, okay, Azariah ben Oded, so now we're at 20, Yahaziel, one of the sons of Mataniah, Elazar ben Dodo, Mimeresha, okay, now we're going to go to the 12 short prophets, Hoshea, Amos, Micha, Morashti, Amots, Isaiah's father, Yeshayahu ben Amots, so Amots is the brother of the king Amatziah. Eliyahu, Elisha, Yonah, Yeshaya. So far we're so good. We're at 30. Where did I stop off? At Yeshaya, right? Yoel, one of the 12 short prophets. Nahum, Habakkuk, Tzfaniah, Yirmiyah, Uriah from Kiryat Yarim, Yechezkel, Daniel, Baruch ben Neriah. Okay, till here. We're at, where are we, 29? 30? No, I'm about to hit 30. I'm at 29, I think. And now he's going to go to those that are actually mentioned in the book of Ezra. Seraiah, Machseiah, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Mordechai, Bilshan. Okay, I hit 46. So he says, yeah, we're short two. He says, the two that were short from the count of Baal Halachot Gedolot, notice that he's putting Mordechai as a Navi. Again, he's not going with Baal Halachot, with the Meiri's opinion that anyone who's only mentioned in writings and Ketuvim has Ruach HaKodesh and not Nevuah. The two that are missing, he says, we're missing two. Maybe it's Hanamel, the uncle of Yirmiyahu, and Shalom. We know that Shalom ben Tikva was, according to some opinions, also a prophet. He was the one whose body rolled and touched Elisha's body, and then he got up and walked out and continued living. So that's who he enumerates as the 46 in Baal Halachot Gedolot, and he suggests to add those two. He says, you should know that there are 5 women who are called prophets in Tanakh, and that is Miriam, Dvora, Hulda, Noadia, in the book of Nehemiah.
Miriam and who?
Devorah, from the book of Judges, Chulda, Noadiah, and then you have in the book of Yechezkel or Hoshea, One of them calls his wife Kravel HaNeviya. I came close to the female prophet, which means that they had a child together. And we always understood that to mean he called his wife the Neviya. He's saying that no, his wife was a prophet.
So, how do you pronounce that, though?
Neviya?
That's her name, though?
I don't think so.
So, Neviya.